dependence upon thee, Lord, for all needed help, I venture to draw your prayerful attention to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The confidence of the dear apostle, the confidence of every true believer, rests upon the faithfulness of God. Rest upon the revealed purpose and will of God. Rest upon the flowings of God's grace. Oh, the vital necessity in religion of having a right beginning. Ever to be preserved from climbing up some other way, from an artificial religion. There's no life there. There's no fragrance there. There's no beauty there. There's no growth there. It's man-made. To be preserved from building on the sand. To be preserved from resting alone upon a head knowledge of the doctrines of grace. It is possible for the mind to instruct itself in doctrine as much as any other subject under the sun. And such characters often appear to be like one named in the Pilgrim Progress, Mr. Talkative. My dear friends, the vital necessity, and you will know it, is ye must be born again. Being confident of this very thing. To be preserved from a counterfeit religion. Remember, it may pass the scrutiny of man, even the scrutiny of a church, even the scrutiny of the minister. But unless it's real, it will not pass God. And again, I feel, especially in my old age, can't be long now. Oh, how solemn to come to the end, destitute of a credential for glory, destitute of that work of grace wrought in the heart. So, beloved friend, here we have a word of blessed encouragement, and it's a word of confidence, a word that we can rest upon, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Creation. God brought that by the word of his mouth, and it was very good. Redemption. The Saviour laying down his life on Calvary's cross. It was finished. The cup of wrath was drunk. All scripture was fulfilled. It was done. When God, in his sovereign purpose, begins the work of grace in a poor sinner's heart, it will never die. It may be brought down very low. There may be even a season of backsliding. There may be even a season of darkness of mind. But when God begins that work, he will perform it. It will never, never fail. What a comfort this is. Now, whilst there are those of us, by the grace of God, can testify that this work of grace has been begun and is being worked in our heart and being prepared for glory, I know I have some here, I am sure of it, that are deeply exercised on this point and desire the assurance of a right beginning, the beginning of God in their souls. Oh, beloved friend, it's a great mercy that you are so exercised and watchful concerning your own case, that you don't accept anything. What you are seeking after, and I pray that it is so with you, is the clear evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in your soul. And there again, when you think of the work of heaven, I think of the Lord Jesus and his title, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I also think of the author and finisher of our faith. Mark that. And that faith, as I often said to you, is indestructible. Where there is the new birth, there is faith. Maybe but a grain of it, and will doubtless be in the beginnings of it. And it will never be destroyed, never be overthrown. And what a comfort that is. He which hath begun a good work in you. And this good work is manifest because of the finished work of the dear Saviour at Calvary. Oh, on that fountain of precious blood that is open for sin and for uncleanness, for that great manifestation of his love to sinners, that in his death on the cross at Calvary, there their sin is forgiven. There God is the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. There they escape the wrath to come. So, beloved friend, it centers on the finished work sealed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we read of the shepherd and his sheep, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And the Lord speaks of his dear people as his jewels, and they shall never be lost, you know. And those jewels are those that fear the Lord. And those that fear the Lord, yes, they speak one to the other. You may say, well, I can't. The Lord also gathers you in on this. Think on his name. Remember that. May the time come when you're being able to speak, and better still, to come and speak it to the church. But may the Lord encourage you, and the Lord says, "And they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels." These little ones in Zion, these that fear God, both small and great. I read at the funeral for my dear aunt this afternoon that in heaven before the throne there are those that those and all of them that feared God both small and great. Mark that. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, I think you'll find it in about the 5th verse. I go by memory there. And even the little ones, the small ones, the little ones. So here is encouragement. The right beginning. And that beginning, we'll come to the experience of it in a moment, but I was just saying the foundation of it, the confidence of it, the assurance of it is the finished work of Christ sealed by his glorious resurrection. But now, how is this made known in the heart of a poor sinner? Some very feelingly say, I know some condemn the words, but it's the exercise of a living soul. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Let us just for a moment consider this church at Philippi and the dear Apostle Paul. It may help us a little in our meditation. There was a deep spiritual bond of love between the Apostle Paul and this church. I read in your hearing that Paul says, I have you in my heart. Deep love. But there's also the marginal rendering, which is, ye have me in your heart. How this bears testimony of the grace of God, how it unites the minister to his hearers, and the hearer to the minister, as God is pleased to use his servant and bless the hearer, there will be love flowing one to the other because of the love of Jesus Christ that flows into both hearts, the minister and hearer alike. I just tarry here for a moment, if I may. The remarkable beginnings, wasn't there? You remember Paul essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered him not. Another place he says, a door was opened to me of the Lord. A different way to what he anticipated. He saw this vision, a man from Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And through that, as we read in the 16th chapter of Acts, that the apostle was assured that God was speaking and God was directing. And so they set sail to Philippi. But there was no evidence at first of any purpose of God's work or any evidence of an open field for the ministry. We do not know how long that lasted, but he certainly found that little company of praying people and united with them. And there, and one's wondered sometimes, was it through the prayers of that little company begging of the Lord to send the gospel to them? That I must leave, but it does often just touch my heart, because where the Lord is preparing a people for his work, he will prepare their hearts to seek and pray for it. Well, the apostle comes, and there, as he speaks to those people, there was one at least most graciously wrought upon, where this work, as we have in this sixth verse, this great good work in you, was begun in one called Lydia. And here we see the sovereignty of God. Here we see the gentleness of that work. And yet we see the assurance of that work. Some of us have had a very gentle teaching and leading. And that sometimes leads to a greater exercise of soul and concern, because the devil tempts us to say, well, you cannot tell when or where God began that work of grace in your heart. But my friend, we believe, we can say, indeed we can say, as one of our hymns, and born I am, and that of God. But here, dear Lydia, not only did she hear the word, but she was baptized and continued in love with the dear servant of God, and opened her home to him, and to Silas as well. And then, of course, we have the casting out of the spirit of divination from the poor woman. And that led the minister of the gospel to be accused, condemned, beaten, and cast into prison. Now, what is this? Surely that vision must be wrong. Surely there's a mistake. No. God is going to reveal, even in a prison, even of the jailer, a work begun. And who would ever have thought it? Now wait a minute. Do not begin to think it's only what we might say notorious sinners, real open enemies, the only ones that is so clear that the work is begun. God begins very gently sometimes. I've often thought of Nathaniel under the fig tree, and others in the Word of God. I've often thought of Mary that sat at the feet of Jesus. It seemed a gentle work, but never such a real work. And just think of that jailer for a moment. What hatred there was. What cruelty. That was the world. What did grace do? Change him completely, didn't it? Where before he thrust those men of God into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks, and no hand to alleviate their sufferings, now bathes those backs, falls at their feet. What must I do to be saved? Here is the great work of God's grace begun. And here was the dear man baptized and becomes a member of the church at Philippi, he and his household. What a contrast between Lydia and the jailer. And so it is in a church, in disposition sometimes. You take, I mustn't wander too much on this, but you take the apostles. They were men of different temperaments. Peter wasn't John. Peter was impetuous. John was so tender and loving. Although I know at one time he said, Lord, wilt thou send fire down on those people? And you take Thomas with all his doubts and fears. And so forth. You go through. But they're God's purpose. And uniting. Bringing together. Binding together in love, spiritual love and the bond of peace. So here we see the work begun. And that, the apostles, I'm confident that that which God has begun in Lydia and in that jailer will be performed. I feel unexpectedly to just name a narrative, possibly I've mentioned it before, I don't know where it was, I think it may have been abroad, it doesn't matter where, a poor man was in such distress and darkness of mind, not a believer, and he felt the only thing was to do away with his life. To this end, he loaded him his pockets with lead and weights, and was going to cast himself into the river. But it wasn't quite dark, very nearly dark, just dusk. A little bit of weight in case somebody saw him. Then he heard some singing in a house nearby. He felt constrained to go. Stood there and knocked on the door. Could he come in? They looked at him a bit suspiciously and said, well, if you're quiet, of course you can. Got in, they finished the hymn or psalm, whatever it was they were singing. The minister, was a little service in the house, and stood up and announced his text. Do thyself no harm. That was the word of Paul to that jailer. After the service, the poor man said to the people, who told you all about me? No one knew him at all. God saved him and began in his heart that work of grace. Friend, but now I do not want to discourage those of you that cannot look for clear spots and places. I can't, and yet I can. I know that sounds like a contradiction. I can't look at a spot and say, well, now that's where God began. That's where I was converted. I can't name that. But I can look back to spots and places where I think, yes, God was dealing with me. First, and this is where we come to this beginning of the work of grace, though it's so well known and we keep preaching it from time to time, but first, some sense of one's lost state, of the holiness and justice of God, that you're lost, you're perishing, that God is holy, that there's no help for you, that you deserve hell, and that there it seems so dark, but this, though you are so dark, this person is being led in such a way as this, the light of life is already beginning to shine, and this work of grace is evidently in its beginning. In this way, that where there is this real spiritual conviction of sin, it will lead that poor, guilty, troubled, burdened soul. You'll say, of all lepers, I'm the chief. Oh, I'm the worst of sinners. I'm so unworthy. And can there be hope for me? But I believe, I know there are sinners that flee to Christ. I know, I'm told that Jesus receives sinners. I'm told that Jesus died for sinners. Then why not for me? And, oh, my dear friend, the turning of your soul, and where before you rested satisfied on saying a prayer, or rested on hearing others pray, but now you start to try and pray in your own heart, in secret. No one else knows about it. I often think of my dear parents. They knew nothing what God in the beginning of my heart, of that young boy up at the top of that house. It was a top floor that I slept in, that on my bed that boy was starting to try and pray, starting to ask God for mercy, starting to pray to be made ready, and broken prayers, poor prayers, yes, but they were from the heart, and those prayers were gradually answered step by step. So there we are. That is the light of life, beginning the work. And that drawing you to the dear Saviour of Jesus, making Christ the one thing needful, the altogether precious one. And then, step by step, raising up in your heart a word from the Gospel, bring a little hope here. A little there. Yes, I know that, you say. That was for me. And though, sometimes even though you may be questioning, but you know it was, and you say, I know, because I couldn't give myself the power, bring that effect of that word upon my spirit. It came just where I wanted it. And you may say, I don't know about my faith, but your faith, it is your faith, is laying hold upon it. You plead it. You seek it. You've been praying for a token for good. You've been praying for God to mesh you and help you and draw near to you and comfort you and grow closer to Christ. So he which hath begun that good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now here, you see, there is spiritual life. Here is a root. Here is a precious seed. Here is a building on a sure foundation. Here is one on the rock. Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, beloved friend, I say a real beginning, a right beginning. led in by the Spirit, and yet, I say, encouraged step by step, and yet from time to time, sorely tried. Another mark will be the company that you keep, where you're happy with. Are you happy when, I say, when you are free from business responsibilities? Do you want to go back to mix with that worldly company when perhaps on a Monday morning you hear what they did on the Saturday afternoon and the Sunday and how they profound the Sabbath day, and you hear the name of Christ blasphemed, you hear words so vile? And my friend, it's a different atmosphere. Now, it's not that we say, I'm holier than thou. It's only by grace that we differ. Only by grace, but it is by grace that we differ. And then, looking at the positive side, you come in and say, ah, this people is my people. I love to meet among them now, and at thy gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all. So the Lord says here, that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Then take another word. And take the good shepherd with the sheep. He seeks that sheep that's lost. It's his, but it's lost. It's far away. But he goes out after it. He knows where to find it and when to find it. And when he's found it, then he brings it in his arms. Now, do you think he is going to lose that sheep? Do you think that those sheep that cost the shepherd his own heart's blood in all those intense sufferings on the cross at Calvary, as he endured, as it were, the hidings of his father's face, as he endured all that man could do against him, do you think that having seen at the trial of his soul, he's going to lose one of them? Do you think that the enemy of souls is going to snatch one of little lamb out of the arms of the shepherd? Never, 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 my friend. This is our comfort, and this is our consolation, and this is our confidence, and this is our assurance. He which hath begun a good work in you. You see, it's a foundation. And it's the foundation is Christ. It's not you, it's not my works, and nothing of self. It's Christ, his finished work, and that's what our faith rests upon, our hope builds upon, and that's our confidence, and that is our trust. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Another mark will be walking in the fear of the Lord. And that, as you know, is in love to God and hatred to sin. It will have such an effect, and it will cover the smallest detail as well as big matters in one's life. You say, now, that something tells me that's not right. Something tells me that's not what God would say. And may God give us the grace there to heed that voice and to depart from evil and to follow in loving obedience to our good and our gracious God. So now we come to this word, the latter part, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The margin there says, will finish it. That can be in a young child. There have been cases where the work was begun and finished. I've often known, perhaps it may be helpful, perhaps I should, but I will, because although the time is in front of me, of that little girl, or young girl, that was called, the minister was called to visit a young girl. He didn't know her at all. And obviously she was dying. He said, I don't know you. Oh, yes, she said. She'd crept in. No one saw her, but she listened. Been going for some time. And God spoke to her. She said, I was a sinner. I was lost. But I kept coming. And as she came, the Lord blessed her. And I'm cutting it short to tell you that she said, I'm not afraid to die. I'm waiting. I'm ready. And in the further instruction of words of her lips, the dear minister, who hadn't received any tokens for some time, was so humbled. There was the clear evidence of a work of grace begun. He visited her once or twice, and then he went again. She said, I'm near the end. This will be the last time. And she said this, I'm finished with prayer. It's all praises, work begun. Now this may be then in a case we think of some of our dear friends that lived to a great age. And you see, all in the sovereign purpose of God. Now this performing of this work of grace is the establishing of it. There's a growth in grace. We say about a root and a seed. It's not the seed or the root only. It's what springs from it and the growth that is manifest in it. And that growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this work of grace will be to empty us of ourselves and to make Christ more precious. It will wean us from the world. It will bring us, or may we be brought to it, where the apostle says here, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, that Christ may be magnified in my body, whether in life or death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, it's the sinner and Christ, closer and closer together. Now I know, sadly do I know, there are times in our spiritual experience when our love grows cold, when we get worldly and filled with pride, grieve the spirit, but nevertheless was that this is very sad and starving to us in spiritual blessing and comfort, and God will deal with us for our backsliding, but he'll restore unto us the joy of the salvation. But the way back is very hard at times, but it will bring us back to these blessings again. And may the trials of our faith, the times of testing that we pass through, be that experience in our soul to draw us closer to the Savior, that we may to know that whereas I said I believe, I know whom I have believed. I've proved it. That promise, I know, be still and know that I am God. You see, in the being still, when you couldn't do anything else, but the Lord kept you with that quietness and trust, you were able to say, I know that was God. When your heart was filled with peace, and in the midst of your troubles, you know that was God, because you couldn't do it yourself and perform that work. Again, we are reminded that God's children are like that silver, the refiner of silver, or the gold, or the precious stones, and also the stones in Solomon's temple all bring the same thought, preparation. Those stones for the Solomon's temple weren't all ready. They had to be quarried, they had to be cleansed, they had to be shaped, they had to be prepared and marked, and then taken when ready, when made ready, to their appointed place. And that's so with God's dear children. When the harvest is ripe, when that wheat is fully grown, when that head of corn is bound with fruitfulness, that golden grain, then gather the wheat into my barn. You see, there it is. And there's this growth, little children and young men and fathers, as the Apostle John describes them. So here we have, that was in his epistle, of course, here you have this assurance that and who works all this? Our God, that makes no mistake. Oh, there's some rough corners to be shaped of, self to be humbled. Oh, my friend, much dross to be burned up, much of the flesh to be crucified, much of self to be humbled and emptied, but all to be prepared for glory and to come to the end of our days. And really, and I believe I can truly say that really there's nothing much in this world for me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love my dear ones. I love you, my people. And while my life is spared, desire to serve God, but the world, I like my little home, but it's just my home, I'm thankful for it, but I don't set my heart on it. I love my garden, but even that isn't quite such an attraction it was. I just want to be drawn closer to Christ, made ready for glory, a shock of corn fully ripe, but I must leave it with you. I don't feel I've done justice to this text tonight, but I've just dropped a few simple thoughts. And what did it say? Unto the day of Jesus Christ. And that day is the day of our death. That day is the day of judgment. But what a mercy to come to the end, the day of death, fall asleep in Jesus. No sting there. That sting has been removed by the blood. The grave, no victory there. The redeemed dust will await the assurance of the coming of the Lord Jesus to rise and to be with him forever and ever. Well, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.